VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. I just believe every program is such a must-listen-to program because the information that we're going to be sharing through the broadcast here today is critical. You will not get it from the major media here across this nation. But as you know, as you have listened to this program over the past several years, we have witnessed the workings of the deep state like never before. This deep state is a shadow government. It manipulates, it shapes the policies of the visible government without regard to the best interest of our nation or the interest of our Constitution or even the laws of our nation. The workings of this deep state have come to the consciousness of the American people more so over the last several years. But ladies and gentlemen, it's actually been at work for some time. And this deep state is not only at work here at home in these United States, but it's active on a global basis as well. We've invited our guest on Crosstalk today to discuss this topic of deep state globalism. With us, we welcome back Alex Newman. Alex is an award-winning international freelance journalist. He's an author, a researcher, an educator, and consultant, a foreign correspondent, and a regular contributor for The New American magazine, and contributes commentaries to other publications as well. Alex has authored or co-authored several books such as Crimes of the Educators and Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes, and The Deep State Pulling Strings from Behind the Scenes. Alex, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. It's such a pleasure to be with you.
Let's begin discussing this deep state first in the United States, and we'll take a look at it on the global picture because they're all intertwined together. But, Alex, what are the early indications or early evidences of the deep state in the U.S.? I mean, we really heard about it more and more as President Trump was running for office and then during his tenure there, but it was far at work well before the Trump administration.
Yeah, it was. And depending on how you define deep state, you can actually trace these types of schemes, these types of antichrist, wicked schemes and plots, all the way back to the very beginning of our nation. And I'll give you a very concrete example that anybody can verify for themselves. George Washington, he needs no introduction, basically the father of our country, he was given a book by a friend of his, a pastor. I have a copy of the book, and I highly recommend it. It's a little bit difficult to read, but it's very important and very informative. It's called Proofs of a Conspiracy by a gentleman called John Robison. And it's a fascinating book. So John Robison was a high-ranking Freemason from the British Isles. And he went over to continental Europe and was traveling through the Masonic lodges of continental Europe in Paris and Berlin all the way into St. Petersburg in Russia. And he observed something that troubled him very, very deeply. He observed the infiltration of some of these lodges by what he viewed as very nefarious conspirators. And as you read the book, he makes the argument that these conspirators who were infiltrating the Masonic lodges of Europe were actually responsible for the French Revolution. And he had access to some of their correspondence. They were using, of course, pseudonyms. But it's an incredibly fascinating book. And so he makes the argument that this secret society within a secret society had actually fomented the French Revolution. Now, if you know anything about the French Revolution, you know that it was about as anti-Christian as can be. They slaughtered tens of thousands of ministers and priests and pastors, literally beheaded them, just blood running through the streets. They took a prostitute into Notre Dame Cathedral and ordered people to worship this goddess of reason. I mean, it was just a bloodbath. They hated God so much that they couldn't even tolerate a 7-day week. They decided to do a 10-day week. Mm-hmm. And of course, God created the world in 7 days. So it gives you a sense of this. And George Washington read this book, and you can see his response to his friend's letter. It's still stored in the National Archives. In fact, it's on the U.S. government's National Archive website. You can find it there to this day, or at least you could when I searched for it when I was doing my book. And he actually expresses agreement with his friend. He explains that I am very concerned about the principles of the Illuminati and this Jacobinism spreading in the United States. And he says, nobody's more convinced of the fact that this is all here than me. And this is in correspondence to his friend that's been archived by the U.S. government. So it's not to say that there's necessarily continuity between the evil schemes and the evil schemers of the day and what's going on today. You know, whether the Illuminati continues to exist to this day or not, I have no idea. I don't have any evidence that it does. But the principles, which really were kind of resurrected by Karl Marx, the idea that we need to eliminate private property, eliminate the nation state, eliminate the family, all these things that God has ordained, have certainly survived, and they are being promoted by shadowy organizations behind the scenes. So that's how far it goes back in American history that we can document.
Yeah, and so as we look at our modern day, Alex, do we know who are some of these shadowy organizations or individuals that are behind it in the U.S.?
Yeah, and that's really the subject of the first section of my book, is really identifying the names of the organizations and the individuals that make up what I call the deep state. You know, to be clear, there's a lot of different interpretations of what the deep state means. President Trump used that term very frequently. It's kind of become part of the popular lexicon. Polling shows now that 75% of Americans believe we have a deep state in this country. And so some of the organizations that I identify are not actually secret. They have offices, they have websites, they make their membership lists public. Organizations like the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission set up by David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski, the Bilderberg Group. Of course, I've been to two of the meetings, obviously never as an invited guest, but once a year they bring together about 150 of the most powerful people on the planet. And so those are the kind of above ground organizations that you can find online. You can, you know, find out who's a member and who's involved. Then there are also very secretive organizations and secret societies that continue to exist to this day that are extremely influential and that are involved in all sorts of very, very dark things. And I'll give you two examples that I focus on in my book, but there are plenty of others. One is the Skull and Bones Society. Now, this was set up in the early to mid-1800s. It's at Yale University, and some of the most powerful and influential men in American history have gone through there, and this continues to this day. For example, George W. Bush and John Kerry in the 2004 election, where they were both members of this secret society. Presidents, Supreme Court justices, congressional leaders, CEOs of the biggest companies, cabinet secretaries, some of the most influential men in American history are involved here. And we know quite a bit about it, actually. A good friend of mine, Charlotte Iserbitt, she served as senior education policy advisor to Ronald Reagan. Her dad and her grandfather were both members. And so I was up at her house probably 6 months ago now, and she showed me the Skull and Bones clock that she still has in her living room that she inherited from her father. And when they passed away, she actually gave all these papers and documents to, I think, one of America's most important historians, Stanford University professor Anthony Sutton. And at first he didn't really think too much about this secret society, the Skull and Bones, but as he started reading these documents, as he started looking at the lists of members and the connections and the influential positions they were in, he realized this was huge. And so he put together two books about this order. They're incredibly important. I recommend people get them if there's an interest. And what he says, essentially, is this is, in his words, a recruiting ground for a conspiracy to create a one-world government. And he says the way that they operate is they try to have their members controlling both sides of the debate. So you can't have just a, you know, conservative. You got to have the conservative and the liberal. And I think the 2004 election was the ultimate example of that, when both major party candidates came from this same tiny little secret society. And to give people a sense of how dark this is, their actual logo is a skull and crossbones. Their headquarters is called The Tomb. And some journalists, actually this appeared on ABC News back in 2001, some journalists climbed up on the wall and filmed some of their rituals, and they're sitting in there kissing a skull and doing, you know, mock human sacrifices. I mean, it's just, it's so bizarre. And I think a non-Christian would really struggle to come up with a sensible explanation for this. So that's one of them, and there's plenty others that I could mention, but there's so much of this going on that unfortunately the American people aren't aware of.
Well, Alex, as you described it, it sounds like Satanism at its core. I mean, just really the root that's driving this kind of mindset to take place.
I think that's exactly what it is, Jim. And I think as Christians who read the Bible, this is all exactly what we would expect to find when we look out at the world. You know, the Bible calls Satan the god of this world. And we certainly don't want to misunderstand that. It doesn't mean Satan is God.
Right.
But you know, the planet is under satanic delusion. The planet is being deceived by Satan. And he's got many, many minions, some of them knowingly working for him, others unknowingly, who are just deluded and deceived. And there's other organizations where the same theme comes up. I'll give you another example. The Bohemian Grove in Northern California. Now, this has been around since the 1800s, very prominent secret society. Every year, 2,500 of the most influential men on planet Earth, and of course only men are invited, they get together in the Redwood Forests of Northern California. And it's supposed to be very secret, but some years ago, a guy I know, Alex Jones, a radio host, snuck in there with a video camera. He snuck in through the forest, and he recorded one of their rituals. It's called the Cremation of Care. The video of this is online. Anybody can see it. And actually, Jones went and confronted some of the people in attendance on the streets of Washington, D.C., like David Gergen. And he said, you know, what were you doing at this Cremation of Care ceremony? Would you comment on it? And you can watch their reaction. You know, they don't deny that they were there or that it was happening. But you can tell they're very alarmed that somebody knows about it. And, you know, people can watch this for themselves, but they're standing in front of this 40-foot stone owl, and they're burning what they claim is an effigy of a child at the feet of this 40-foot stone owl. And I, you know, I recognize people out there who haven't heard this stuff. It sounds absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Because it is crazy. But that's the kind of stuff that goes on. They're wearing these hoods, and they're carrying torches, and they're chanting about the spirits of the forest and setting them free and all this kind of stuff. It's very bizarre. And then you realize every Republican president since the 1920s, with the exception of Donald Trump, has attended these types of meetings, these exact meetings in Bohemian Grove. Richard Nixon wrote in his autobiography that the most important speech that he gave in his life was the one he gave at the Bohemian Grove. And yet 99.9 Americans out of 100 have no idea that this thing even exists.
Well, you mentioned President Trump, and when he ran for office, I mean, he constantly referred to the deep state. Alex, he had efforts underway. He wanted to expose it. He wanted to expunge it. But in office, even though he fought it, even through all of his efforts, he held the highest office in this country, some would say the world, he could not eradicate it. Why not?
That's exactly right. You know, people say, oh, the president is the most powerful man on planet Earth. And, yeah, you know, in theory, on paper, that's true. And when there is a deep state operative in the White House, that may very well be true. In terms of, you know, earthly, worldly power, that may very well be true. But what happened when Donald Trump came in, and it was interesting because Newt Gingrich actually went on Fox News and explained this, said the reason the deep state hates Donald Trump so much is because he's not one of them. He hasn't participated in the initiation rituals. He's not a member of their secret society. This is an exact quote from Newt Gingrich, who's very well connected in the political sphere. And so what happened when Trump came in, it basically all the organs of deep state power, not just these shadowy, weird secret societies, but, you know, the above ground organizations, the money men, the people within the bureaucracies who are members of these organizations, the people who are fellow travelers, they all went to work to sabotage him in every way possible. And that ranged from, you know, refusing to implement the policies that he directed them to implement to actively trying to remove him. We saw that with the Russiagate, right, the silly conspiracy theory that Trump was a Russian agent that we heard about for years. That's how they work.
Well, folks, a lot of information here today. Alex Newman with us. We're talking about deep state globalism. In our next segment, we're going to be segmenting, going from the U.S. even into looking at this at a global basis as well. There is so much information here. We're going to try and put a lot of it together for you. Stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk. Alex Newman, our guest, our topic, deep state globalism. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, we see right-to-life efforts all over the news these days. What does the Bible say about this?
Chris, the Bible is clear. Humankind is created in the image of God with great value and worth in His sight and is to be respected and protected. At conception, the embryo takes on human status, although not yet completely grown. The Bible discusses how the growing embryo as an individual has feelings and on some occasions even expresses itself. When a pregnant woman was injured in Bible times, such that the baby lost its life, there were consequences to be faced. The Bible doesn't give us all the details, but there's enough there to be certain that the unborn child is a viable human person and must be protected. Chris, the Back to Genesis way of thinking helps us understand modern issues.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman is our guest here today, an award-winning international freelance journalist. He's an author, researcher, educator, consultant. He's been with us numerous times here on Crosstalk. We're discussing deep state globalism, and Alex has just poured tons and tons of research into this topic here. He's written about it in some of his publications like Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes, Deep State Pulling Strings from Behind the Scenes, and exposing that in very brief today. Alex, we're just going to scratch the surface today, but people can obtain your books, your writings on these. How can they do that?
Well, thank you, Jim. There's several ways to do that. The latest book that I did is Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes. That's available. There are several different venues. You can get it directly from me if you go to libertysentinel.org/books or /donate. It's libertysentinel, S-E-N-T-I-N-E-L .org. It's also available on Amazon in digital form. You can't get the print book. I will send you the print book signed. And then also the publisher has it available as well. It's published by Western Islands Publishing, and you can buy that directly from them at shopjbs.org.
Okay, so folks, again, Alex will sign it if you go to libertysentinel.org and obtain a copy of his book there. Again, the latest, Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes. Alex, we were talking about the Trump administration in brief here, but now we have a change in administration. Does that mean that the work of the deep state is no longer needed now that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are there to do the bidding?
Yeah, I would say the deep state just completely regained the reins of power. And there's so much evidence about that. They actually joke about it. I'll give you a concrete example. I've got the video and I use it in some of my talks. Joe Biden was up on stage at the Council on Foreign Relations, which is really, in my view, kind of deep state headquarters here in the United States. And he's up on stage with the president of the Council on Foreign Relations, Richard Haass. And the broader video has made national news because that's the same speaking event where Joe Biden admitted that he had threatened the government of Ukraine to withhold $1 billion if they wouldn't get rid of the quote-unquote corrupt prosecutor who just so happened to be investigating the corrupt dealings with his son, Hunter Biden, on the board of Burisma Holdings, the Ukrainian energy company. So that's the same speech. But at the very beginning, Richard Haass, the president of the CFR, he says, I guess I should introduce myself. I'm Richard Haass. I'm the president here. I work here at the Council on Foreign Relations. And Joe Biden, who's sitting right next to him, chimes in and they says, hi, I'm Joe Biden, and I work for Richard.
Wow.
It's a very bizarre remark, but I think it perfectly encapsulates what's going on here. Biden really is, I think, a Trojan horse for the deep state, and they're back in charge.
You know, I find it interesting, and I don't know if you've seen the clip this week of President Biden addressing House Democrats. He's at an issues conference. He was doing this virtually, and he delivers his prepared remarks and then offered, when he was done, to take questions, when all of a sudden his White House feed was cut off, his microphone, his camera. They did this, Alex, to the President of the United States. And when I heard this, I immediately asked myself, who is calling the shots? Who's pulling the strings here? It's not only this, but it's happened during the signing of executive orders where he asked, what am I signing here? To which Vice President Harris said, well, just sign it. I mean, these are evidences that somebody else is calling the shots here, pulling the strings.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, I think the best way to understand Biden right now is he's really a marionette. He really, and I don't mean this in an offensive way or a disrespectful way, but he really is not all there right now. It's actually very sad to see. He was just giving a speech in Houston last week, and he's standing up on stage, and, you know, the video's out there. Suddenly in the middle of talking, he says, wait, what am I doing here again?
Yeah.
So he just has no idea what's going on. And I suspect once they feel like they've got a tight enough grip on the military and they've regained control of the Department of Justice, they've eliminated, you know, they're calling it Trump's moles that he left behind in the federal government, they'll, you know, spring the trap on us and just be clear that actually Kamala Harris is now running things. And, of course, Kamala Harris is obviously not the head of the deep state either.
Mm-hmm.
She's just being used by them as well. But I suspect that's what's going on, Jim.
Yeah, all that talk about the 25th Amendment before the election, we're going to see it come to pass.
That's right.
This deep state is not only afoot here, Alex, but it's really at work all over the world. I mean, we see some of the underpinnings here in the United States. And so really, for us to talk about the deep state in the U.S., we have to address what's going on a global basis, because this is really all interconnected, is it not?
It absolutely is, Jim, and I don't think you can understand the deep state in the United States without understanding its relationship to what's going on in the world. And I'll give you a few concrete examples, and you know, we could talk about each individual country or situation, but there's a few that really stick out and I think really show clearly the way that the deep state operates and the types of operations they do and schemes that they practice. And so the Soviet Union, you know, we've been taught since childhood that the Soviet Union was, you know, this group of revolutionaries rising up against oppression by the bourgeoisie, and yeah, they got a little bit out of hand and killed, you know, a few too many people. It didn't work out as well as it maybe should have or could have, but it looked great on paper. Well, there's so much more to that story. Earlier I mentioned a Stanford historian who I truly believe is one of America's most important historians in all of our history, Anthony Sutton of Stanford. And he also wrote a book on this subject. It's called Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. I encourage listeners to get a copy if you have any interest in this subject, because what he does is he uses U.S. government documents straight from the State Department to prove, it's not a theory, it's not a hypothesis, it's not an argument, he proves beyond any shadow of a doubt that the Bolshevik Revolution was financed by some of the wealthiest men in America, the people we today would call the deep state, the wealthy Wall Street oligarchs, the major bankers. They did this with support of governing authorities in parts of Europe. And so even this alleged uprising of the downtrodden masses in a class war was a deep state operation. And, of course, they took over the Soviet Union. The same is true with communist China. And there's actually a whole chapter on this subject in the book that I did on the deep state, because the deep state brought the communists to power in China. And I know that flies in the face of everything that we have been taught, but it's easy to document, it's provable, it's a fact, and to this day, we see the deep state building up and empowering the regime in China, which is ruthlessly persecuting the church, which has got over a million Uyghur Muslims in western China in concentration camps, which has murdered more people than any government in human history. They rose to power, and then they became an international superpower thanks to the work of the deep state in the United States. And again, this is demonstrable. It's provable. Members of the Council on Foreign Relations helped every step of the way. And I'll give you one specific example. George Marshall was a very prominent operative for the deep state. He was a leading member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He was also Secretary of War and Secretary of State at various times. He put an arms embargo on our ally in China, Chiang Kai-shek, after Chiang Kai-shek had helped us defeat the Japanese, while he was trying to fight the communists. So our people, our deep state operatives within our government institutions, put an arms embargo on our ally while simultaneously allowing Stalin, who we had invited into the war on Japan just moments before we dropped nuclear bombs, they gave Stalin all of Japan's war material that was stationed in northern China and Manchuria. They gave that straight to Chairman Mao. Meanwhile, they put an arms embargo on our ally, Chiang Kai-shek, and forced China into the hands of the communists. And then at every step of the way, they've been building them up. And I'll give you one more specific example or two. David Rockefeller, one of the leading deep state operatives in the United States, he passed away a couple of years ago. He was the chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations. He was on the steering committee of Bilderberg. He was the founder of the Trilateral Commission and a regular attendee at Bohemian Grove. He went over to China in the early 1970s before normal Americans could go, and he wrote in the New York Times, this is still on their website today, you can find it there, published in August of 1973, that the social experiment in China under Chairman Mao is one of the most successful in all of human history. By that time, they had probably murdered 40 to 50 million innocent people. They had destroyed an ancient civilization that had been around for thousands of years. And David Rockefeller thought this was a successful social experiment. Fast forward to a few years ago, George Soros, who is one of the money men for the deep state, he actually said publicly, and you can find this interview on YouTube, he said in an interview with the Financial Times that communist China should own the New World Order, in the same way that the United States owned the old world order.
Wow.
So that's the direction that the deep state wants us to go, and it all relates. It's a global problem, Jim.
Yeah, and you know, I've wondered who ultimately is going to end at the top. What you're pointing out here is China, but I saw an article earlier this year. It was Robert Spencer's Jihad Watch, where the Turkish president, Erdogan, was positioning the Turkish military in order to secure Turkey's place in a rebalanced New World Order. So what is this pecking order, the Great Reset? I mean, with the Turkey entering into this, you mentioned here just a bit ago, China's to come out here at the top, but other nations evidently are going to be part of that pecking order.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we're seeing this form now, and we're seeing, they're basically announcing it now as a fait accompli. If you look, for example, at the World Economic Forum, which is now fronting for the Great Reset that we spoke about on a recent episode,
yes.
They actually predicted, they put out a video very recently, and they put it out in multiple languages on all their social media. You know, nobody needs to believe me. You can watch the video yourself. They call them predictions. That by 2030, they said, no one will own anything, right? They say, you will own nothing, and you will be happy. And then they also say, a couple predictions later, that the United States will be severely diminished, and we will have entered a new era with a multipolar world order. And that's the key phrase right there, multipolar world order. And so their agenda, and we're seeing this now unfolding very quickly. I've been sounding the alarm about it for as long as I've been writing, but now we're seeing it come to pass. The United States is going to be brought down significantly in terms of economy, in terms of military, in terms of all of the things that we think of in terms of power. And part of that is a result of the mistakes that we as Americans have made in allowing our government to go out of control and ignore the Constitution, allowing Christian civilization and moral principles to collapse here in this country. But part of it is by the design of the deep state. They engineered this specifically, and I believe that's because America was founded on these important biblical principles, like the idea that God created us equally, the idea that God gave us rights, the idea that government exists to punish violations of our rights. Right? The way the Bible puts it is the government exists to punish evil, and God has defined evil, right? Murder and theft and things like this. Well, and that's the view of the founders. We have a government to punish murder, theft, and to protect life and property. Right? That's how they put it. So this whole idea needs to be pushed out of the way. America needs to be brought down significantly. We need to be made an example of. And in our place will rise communist China. And I tell people, if you want to know what the global system these people are building is going to look like, look to communist China. They are pioneering this world order, and they're doing it openly. Right? This is what the global system will look like if they get their way. But China won't be alone. Right? China has, for example, the BRICS alliance, the Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And I can speak on each of those nations. In fact, I've lived in many of those nations, and I've been to most of the rest. But that's the direction that they're moving. And the deep state really is international in scope. There's no question about it.
Yeah, Alex Newman with us here today on Crosstalk. And operationally, what are they doing right now to carry out this plan? What's both in the open as well as under the surface?
Well, I think one of the next big shoes to drop, Jim, is going to be a currency crisis, the likes of which Americans have never seen. We already see the value of the dollar, the purchasing power of the dollar, is being vaporized. I mean, it is dropping like a rock. Price of lumber has gone up 200% in the last year. I just checked the gas station. When President Biden took over, it was $2 a gallon here in Florida. Now it's $2.70 per gallon. We're going to see the value of the dollar being crushed. We're going to see the dollar lose its status as the international reserve currency, and that is going to pave the way for a very different international monetary system with a global currency and a cashless society.
Okay, so let's come back on that point when we come back. Folks, important information here. Alex Newman with us here today. He has gone through, researched this. He's written on it. He's been warning for years about this deep state globalism that's afoot not only in the United States, but around the world. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Cemeteries and mausoleums are evidence of the sad reality of death, and that each of us has a divine appointment with death. According to surveys, Americans overwhelmingly believe that heaven exists and believe that most are going there. A small number believes that hell exists, with only 0.5% believing they will go there when they die. What if those who do not believe in hell die one day and find they made a tragic and eternal mistake? In the book, Hell is for Real, author Gary Fraser discusses the separation, the suffering, and the sorrow of hell, along with future events that will unfold. There is much information given by movies, television, psychics, and even by many religious circles. Gary presents scriptural truth on this important topic. VCY is making available the book, Hell is for Real, as our way of saying thank you for your support of $15 or more. Two copies for a donation of $25. Just ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
guest today, Alex Newman, and friends, again, he has written the book entitled Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes, and you'll find that through his website, libertysentinel.org, libertysentinel.org, and you'll find it there under books. You can do a web search, you'll find it other places as well. But certainly exposing this deep state globalism that's underway. It's been underway for some time. And Alex, as we're looking and ahead toward the future, just before the break, you're talking about a currency crisis. And yes, we've all seen what's going on at the pumps right now. We've seen what's taking place on so many different fronts, economically speaking. Talk further about this currency crisis. And you're talking about the propelling us toward a cashless society as well. It's all intertwined. Expose what's going on.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. It's such a pleasure to be on the program. I sure appreciate it. And I think if anybody's paying attention to what's going on in the government, in the economy, at the Federal Reserve, a very clear picture emerges. You can go look at the Federal Reserve's own data. You can pull up the charts. You can see what they have been doing when it comes to the currency supply. They have been injecting unprecedented amounts of new currency into our financial system. Now, we haven't started feeling the effects of that yet, at least not in a dramatic way, because a lot of that is going to the big banks, a lot of that's going to the big corporations, and they are sitting on a lot of it. But we have seen the most reckless spending that we've ever seen in American history. And I don't want to blame just this administration. This was even going on years ago. They were printing trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars and showing most of it on their cronies, and then some of it, you know, they used as a stimulus payments to Americans, kind of as a bribe. But we know what happens when you do this, right? This has been tried in many other nations. Actually, I teach an economics class, and I've got all kinds of bills from all over the world. I've got hundreds of trillions of Zimbabwe dollars, and I can buy absolutely nothing with them because they are worthless. Hundreds of trillions of dollars, worthless. Now, if you had worked your whole life and you had saved up $1 million, and suddenly they start printing hundreds of trillions of dollars, well, the value of your savings is going to be destroyed. It's taken a little bit longer to hit us in America because we have this incredible advantage in that our currency is the global reserve currency. That means everybody who wants to buy oil on the international markets needs to buy it in dollars. That means central banks hold huge amounts of dollars on their balance sheets. And so we've been able to kind of export a lot of this inflation to other countries. But the chickens are going to come home to roost, probably sooner rather than later, and I think Americans should expect to see an enormous decline in the value of the dollar. Now, simultaneously with this, we have two other important trends that are developing, and again, I've been sounding the alarm about these in the New American Magazine and other places for over a decade. We have the trend toward an international currency, a one-world currency. They are grooming the International Monetary Fund for this purpose, and they've been doing it openly for well over a decade. The idea is to turn the special drawing rights. This is kind of the proto-global currency. Right now it's backed by a basket of major currencies, including the U.S. dollar. But they want to turn that into the new global reserve asset and eventually into a global currency. That doesn't mean that when you and I go to the supermarket, we're going to pay in special drawing rights, SDRs as they call them. But it does mean that the dollar will slowly lose its place and will gradually be replaced by the SDR in the international financial system. And at the same time that we see that happening, we see them now openly promoting this idea of a cashless society. And part of it is COVID, right? They're telling us that we're going to get COVID if we use cash. You've got all these stores and merchants saying we don't take cash anymore. They've got this fake coin shortage. They're telling us that drug dealers and terrorists and human traffickers are the ones who use, and tax cheats are the ones who use cash to conceal all of this. So we're very clearly moving in that direction. It's much further along in places like Scandinavia, but there is a global alliance now pushing for a cashless society. It's called the Better Than Cash Alliance. It was formed in 2012, and it actually brings together many of these same deep state individuals and organizations, like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, like the United Nations, like the all these big American foundations, like the Ford Foundation. And they've got now many governments on board, and they've made it their explicit official policy to move toward a global currency. And believe it or not, the secretariat for this alliance is actually based at the United Nations Capital Development Fund. So that's the way they're moving. They won't tell you about it in the newspaper, but you don't have to go into the dark, smoky rooms to figure this out. You can just go right to their websites and read it on their page.
My. Alex, I'd like to bring up another issue, and that is COVID as well. We have seen this nation transformed by our response to COVID, and I'd like you to comment as to how you see COVID being used, how you see COVID being manipulated, the people being manipulated to facilitate the goals of the deep state.
Yeah, and there's so many different tentacles here. There's so many different benefits from the deep state's perspective to this COVID crisis. One of them is the very obvious economic destruction. What they have done with this COVID is they have bankrupted huge segments of the middle class, and it's going to get worse, right? They have destroyed hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of small businesses at this point. These are, you know, middle class, self-sustaining, relatively independent people who are now broke, who are now in the process of declaring bankruptcy or who will be soon. And these are lives and dreams shattered. But, of course, by vaporizing the middle class, by eliminating the middle class, you eliminate the most significant barrier, the most significant opposition to this move toward this global, really totalitarian system. And I think that was one of the objectives all along. And what we see is that when they destroyed these small businesses and these middle class people, they actually just transferred all of that wealth over to the elites. And Jeff Bezos is I think, the ultimate example of this. Right, but of course, Walmart and the others are the same thing. So we couldn't go to our local small businesses. We could go to Walmart and we could shop on Amazon. And so, yeah, I full disclosure, I own some shares in Amazon and Walmart, and I have been astounded. Right, since the COVID crisis started, my Amazon stock has more than doubled. My Walmart stock has more than doubled. And meanwhile, all these small businesses, we weren't allowed to go to them. So what happened? We just transferred wealth, we eliminated jobs, and we put more power in the hands of deep state connected and controlled corporations like Amazon. And this was a very obvious process, right? Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon, the founder of Amazon, also a regular attendee at the Bilderberg meetings, also owns the Washington Post, which was one of the primary forces fanning the flames of hysteria and lockdown surrounding COVID. So on the one hand, you're destroying the middle class, you're further empowering the elites. Another key element, I think, is the war we have seen going on against the church. It was kind of simmering under the surface for a long time, but COVID brought it to the forefront. We saw pastors arrested for keeping their churches open. We saw pastors terrorized and threatened with arrest for keeping their churches open or for allowing congregants to sing and to worship God. And I think this is just a foretaste of what will be coming our direction. That was just kind of a sneak preview of what will be coming. And there might be some other excuse. Maybe it'll be a new virus. Maybe it'll be a cyber pandemic, as Klaus Schwab, the founder of the World Economic Forum, put it. But they are coming up with different excuses. And so I think the war on the church and the war on the middle class were two critical elements that helped advance this. And then the empowering of government. Right? Never before have we had a situation where government has had so much power. I mean, we've lost rights that people didn't even think it was possible to lose, like our right to make a living. Like you can't open your business. You can't go to work. I mean, 2 years ago, it wouldn't have occurred to people to think that they might come for your right to make a living. We were worried about our free speech rights and our gun rights and the right to life and things like that. Well, they were plotting on something else. And one of the really interesting things, I'll wrap it up right here on this topic, the Rockefeller Foundation put out a report in 2010. It was strategies for the future of international development, something like that. And in this report, they imagined a hypothetical new virus coming out of China that would require global totalitarian measures to bring under control. And it's a fascinating document because it reads like the news today. We've got to shut down businesses. We have to force everybody to wear masks. We've got to do this, that, and the other. But the line that haunts me the most is, even after the pandemic faded, the authoritarian measures stuck and even intensified, and that's where they're going.
My. Alex, and coupled with this loss of rights we have yet to see what is going to happen with, there's great talk about these COVID passports now and vaccination passports. This all is going to fall lockstep and barrel right into the hands of the deep state, is it not?
Absolutely right. And I'm glad you mentioned that. I believe the vaccines are part of this agenda. Bill Gates, a leading player in the deep state, a regular Bilderberg attendee who's deeply involved with these organizations, they have been promoting these vaccine agendas and also the transhumanism that's involved with this for many years now. In fact, in 2018, Bill Gates wrote an article about editing our DNA.
Yeah.
This was in Foreign Affairs, the magazine of the Council on Foreign Relations. And when you look at the technology in these vaccines, it's entirely new. It involves sending messenger RNA into your cells and having your cells basically be hijacked by these messenger RNAs to start producing proteins that the vaccine, so-called, is going to tell them to produce. So an entirely new technology. And if you look at some of the things that Bill Gates has funded in this area, for example, the use of microneedle tattoos to track people's vaccination status. You mentioned the COVID passports that we won't be able to travel without these things. It's all setting up a totalitarian system where you can't move, you can't work, you can't earn a living, you can't do anything without the permission of the people in charge. And I think that's a very concerning trend.
It is. And, Alex, I think that is the makings of a whole interview right there that we need to have together just on this great reset and the matter of transhumanism and this, as you wrote an article on merging man and machine, because there is so much to unpack in that as well. Let me ask you this, and can this be overcome? Can the deep state be overcome, or do we just sit back and see it happen?
That's a good question. And, you know, I believe that God is sovereign. And I believe if God feels like putting a stop to this, it stops now.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he will choose to do that, I don't know. I am of the opinion that America is now facing judgment. We are in the midst of judgment, and it's going to get worse. I do not believe that the process will stop. However, that doesn't absolve us of our responsibility to continue resisting evil and exposing evil and reproving evil and all these other things. But I do want to cite a scripture that I think I've used it in my book, and I've been using it for years because it just fits so perfectly with what we're talking about. And I think it brings hope to the heart of a Christian. If you go to Psalm 2, verse 2, the Bible tells us that the kings of the earth conspire together or take counsel together, some translations say, against the Lord and against his anointed one. And that was thousands of years ago. That was King David writing that in Psalms. And what do we see today? We once again see the kings of the earth conspiring together against the Lord and his anointed one. And you go down a couple of verses, you get to Psalm 2, verse 4, and God tells us what he thinks about that. It's just a phenomenal scripture, and it's on my mind and in my heart very frequently, because we find out what God thinks about this.
Yeah.
It says, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. He ridicules these people. So God is not scared of the deep state. God is not scared of their little efforts to do bad things. God knows everything that's happening. He can stop it anytime he wants to. And eventually, he is going to stop it. He is going to absolutely crush all of this evil. And I think that, as Christians, should really give us hope. Now, I don't want to give hope in this world. That's not to say that one day we're going to see a rebirth of freedom in America. I would love to see that. I don't know that that's going to happen. But God will destroy this evil. He's promised it, and it will come to pass.
Our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. We have limited time. Friends, we're going to ask you to form a question. Get as brief as possible. No deep discussion except to ask your question. We'll try and have Alex address that. 800-733-9829. There's so much that's being unpacked in this interview today, and we are taking your calls here. We'll get as much as we can in the final segment. This is Crosstalk. Deep State Globalism, our topic. Alex Newman, our guest. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Perhaps one of the greatest schemes coming globally is the carbon tax or carbon credit. The idea is you need to be taxed for simply being alive, for simply breathing, putting out carbon dioxide. Then you add the fact that you actually drive a car, heat your home, or use an air conditioner. One study shows that the average home, the average household in America, puts out 48 tons of carbon dioxide. That means you need to be taxed at least $51 a ton, according to the new Biden administration. That would be a tax on the average American family of almost $2,500. Are you ready for an additional $2,500 in taxes? Or how about this? The real target price, they say some, is $400 per ton. Are you ready for a tax bill of over $19,000? Well, get ready, because they're going to start forcing you to buy carbon offsets, paying a tax credit. This is a complete global scam.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman is our guest. Again, you can obtain his book at libertysentinel.org. Libertysentinel.org. Friends, there's been a lot of information on this program. If you'd like to obtain a CD, you can call our switchboard. We do make them available for donation of $6. You can call 800-729-9829, 800-729-9829. But you can also pass along free of charge within just a couple hours. It'll be up on our website, crosstalkamerica.com. Get the link and send it out. Inform others to the information that you've learned today. Just before we pick up our first call here, Alex, and short as possible, is this a time for believers in Christ to be living in fear?
Absolutely, positively not. There is never a time for God's children to be living in fear. God tells us that explicitly. And I understand the temptation to be fearful. I'll be totally honest. As I've researched these things over the last 12 or 15 years, there have been times, especially before I was more advanced in my walk with God, where this stuff was absolutely terrifying to me. But pray about it. Ask the Lord for guidance and for the fruit of the Spirit. And read the Bible, because
yes.
When you read the end of the story, you know how this all
yes.
ends.
Amen.
And you realize, wow, we're on the winning side. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Let's go to the phone lines. Trevor calling in from Wausau, Wisconsin. Hi, Trevor. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim. Hey, I was just wondering, what do we do? Like, what about the money in our bank accounts and stuff? And, how's it going to look? I mean, do I still go to work and earn a living? I mean, I know the answer to that, but how's this going to look? Am I going to wake up one day with no money in my bank account?
Alex?
Excellent question. Yeah, I wish I had a better answer for you. I tell people I never give financial advice of any sort. But what I will do is just give you a sneak preview into what I do with my little meager savings. We just put a down payment on a farm, try to buy a little bit of gold and silver. But ultimately, there is no security in worldly things, right? There's nothing financial. There's no investment that's going to protect you from the evil that is now spreading unchecked across the globe. The only safe place to be is in Christ. So I do think you should continue going to work, and I do think you should be prudent. In fact, the Bible tells us if we don't take care of our own families, we're worse than infidels.
Yeah.
And that's a very strong statement. So I think we, as husbands, as fathers, as wives, as mothers, we have an obligation to take prudent precautions and sensible measures to protect our family from, you know, hurricanes if you live in Florida, financial downturns. It's sensible to do these things, but certainly not in fear. And, you know, certainly I don't think anybody should panic and go out and trade all their dollars in for gold or anything like that. Pray about it and read the Bible.
Thank you, Trevor. Doug is next in Pensacola, Florida. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. I got a question. I've been listening to some of the comments or some of the questions. But Alex, would you, I know you can't make any financial suggestions or what we should do, but I understand you said you bought some stock in Walmart and Amazon. How's that doing for you? And is that what you're doing personally to prepare yourself for this cashless society? I'm just curious.
Yeah, thank you. I do have a little bit of stock, not much. I do own a little bit of Walmart and a little bit of Amazon. And, yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with buying some stock. But ultimately, again, I don't think we're going to find any security in any sort of money or any sort of investment. The only security we're going to get is in Christ. But I think as a sensible measure for protecting our assets and our investments, which I know is on a lot of people's mind in this time of real economic uncertainty, I think it's kind of cliche, but diversify. You don't want to have all your eggs in one basket. A lot of people say, go put all your money into gold. Well, the government, by executive order, one time banned gold and required all U.S. citizens to turn it into to the government. So we need to have, diversify. I think a little bit of stock is good. Bill Gates just bought hundreds of thousands of acres of farmland, so there might be something to that. I really don't know. But I do think it would be wise to spend a little bit of time on this if you have some savings. But recognize that your savings aren't going to save you. Only Christ is going to save
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Doug. Mark is next in Monroe. You're on the air.
Yes. My question is this. Do you think the U.S. deep state bad actors, namely top-ranked politicians, are actually participating in the occult?
Yeah, great question. And I don't think that they are. I know that they are. That's not to say that all of them are. Actually, Jim and I spoke a little bit during one of the breaks. And Richard Nixon, you know, he said in his autobiography that the most important speech of his political career was at the Bohemian Grove, which is just basically days of occult rituals. And yet in those private tapes that eventually leaked out after he left office, he used some very, very unflattering language for this group and what was going on there. So I think a lot of the people who go there, you know, they're not really into it. They don't necessarily understand exactly what's going on. It's not that they're into the occult. But certainly there are political leaders who are involved in these types of things. And one of the obvious, I know I've kind of picked on Republicans a little bit, and I didn't mean to just imply that it's only Republicans, but with these WikiLeaks disclosures that we had a few years ago, we found out that the Podesta brothers, who were, of course, very, very close to the Clinton family, were involved in this spirit cooking with Marina Abramovic. Hmm. And if you don't know what spirit cooking is, I'll give you a quick preview. They mix a whole bunch of body fluids into a cauldron, then they paint messages on the wall summoning spirits, and then they do very, very weird things. And, of course, the Bible tells us all that we need to know about summoning spirits. And so there's a lot of that going on.
My. Mark, thanks for the call. We're going to squeeze one last call in from Salisbury, Maryland. And, Noah, you're on the air.
Hi. God bless you guys. Thanks for having me. I just wanted to say that if you look in Daniel and Revelation, you know that Europe has to become a world power eventually, and we know that America has to fall in order for that to happen. So I just wanted to say for believers that you shouldn't worry about that, even though in the next coming months and years we may lose some physical things, that we can spiritually grow in Christ and that our redemption comes closer and closer.
Amen. Thank you, Noah. And as that's exactly what Alex was pointing out there, our hope is not in the things of this world. Our hope is in the Lord. And that's where it needs to be focused. Our eyes need to be on Him. And what does He command us to do? To go into all the world, to preach the gospel, to go make disciples. And it's critically important for us to be salt and light. Alex, you got 30 seconds. Closing thought.
Well, thank you so much, Jim, for having me on the program. Thank you to all the listeners. And it's just my final recommendation would be to get in the Word. Read your Bible, because as you read the Bible, as you read the description of reality that God gives us, all of this stuff that I've just described today, I know it sounds fantastical, but it is exactly what we should expect to see. Thank you, guys, and God bless you.
Amen. Alex Newman, thank you for being with us today, for your research, your passion, and helping to expose what's going on. Alex,
thank you.
Alex Newman, our guest here today. Again, friends, you've learned information. You can be a watchman by getting this information out to others as well. Contact us for a CD or send out a link at crosstalkamerica.com. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.